Hello there, my name is James and you're listening to Revy Live Radio. Starting June 28th, Arch Revelstoke presents 64 straight nights of live music. From dreamy cowboy pop to washboard blues, and from jazz to rock and roll, we've got it all covered. You can tune into Stoke FM over the next 2 months, every Thursday at 5:30 p.m. to hear behind-the-scenes interviews and music from all the talented musicians playing Grizzly Plaza this summer. Let's get started.
Everybody, my name is Paris Pick, and I'm here to invite you to my show happening at Revy Live, Thursday, July 3rd, 6:30 p.m. It's a family-friendly event, and we're coming all the way from Christina Lake, B.C., and it's going to be a very fun show. So if you like mid-70s yacht rock or dad rock, you're going to like this. So my songwriting process is I'm a bass player first. I wish I played piano, but I never got piano lessons as a kid. I wish I did though. If I could go back and tell my mom to put me in something, it would be piano. But I write all my songs on guitar. It's just like a nice, you know, it's just like an easy instrument to kind of just like strum away. And I would say that for myself, chords and like melody kind of come first. Usually like a melody, you know, like I'll strum something and start putting chords together. And then when I start kind of hearing a melody, that kind of helps inspire lyrics. So yeah, melody first and then lyrics for sure. I think for me, my inspiration for songwriting does seem pretty sporadic. I wish it was consistent, and I've tried to like make it a bit more part of my schedule, where it's like, oh, I'm going to sit and practice songwriting today. And yet sometimes I feel like if I force it too much, it really just goes nowhere. And so I tend to be a very cathartic writer. So everything's like very in the moment and how I'm feeling there and then, and an emotion or a vibe that's just working. And it's very in the moment. And sometimes, you know, it's like I do it and it happens and it's great. And then I'm kind of chasing the dragon for months to come. Like, when's that going to happen again? And it doesn't mean that I don't, you know, write in between those moments where I feel like a full song gets completed from front to back. But yeah, it's kind of the process for me anyways. And my phone is filled with, like, you know, in my voice notes, my voice memos, I have, you know, bits and pieces of songs that I started. You know, I might have choruses and verses, and sometimes those things come together later. Although I feel like more often than not, my songwriting style and the songs that end up hitting the stage are songs that I wrote all at once, like front to back, there in the moment, bam, I got lucky. And then, yeah, the other ones tend to just kind of dwindle away or maybe never get used, but at least they're there for inspiration when I need it.
When you guys are traveling for shows, are there any funny band rules for the van or the car or whatever you guys are traveling around in?
I always joke, one of the rules that I have on tour that sometimes I break myself, but I think it's funny, is no grease in the van. And what I mean by no grease in the van is exactly what it sounds like, as in, you know, if you have the urge to eat 7-Eleven chicken wings, I don't want chicken wing sauce getting wiped on the dash, or like any risk of anything sticky or greasy just filling up my pores and the vibe of the van when it's already tight quarters as is. Now this is funny, and I'm a hypocrite, because recently we were on a little tour and I said to everybody, no grease in the van, so they know that if we stop at a fast food place, I'll probably say, like, let's get out and eat, you know, in the restaurant. But I actually am the one who got the 7-Eleven chicken wings and brought them in the van. And then everyone's sitting there watching me eat these nasty wings in the back seat. And they're like, what happened to no grease in the van? I'm like, yeah, you're right. I'm not following my own protocol here. But I also have a bit of an issue with being sticky. I really hate like being sticky. And like when you're on the road and you don't always have access to like a sink or a place where you can wash your hands, I think that's where the fear comes from, was like having fast food and greasy, dirty things in the car. Just like the idea for me of like not being able to get clean after eating something drippy and droopy and greasy just like grosses me out. So it's kind of funny. I think it's a personal thing where everyone else, I think they could care less if we ate burgers in the van, but I'm kind of like, if we have to, fine, but if we can avoid it. And I always got wet wipes on site. So anyways,
and I just wanna make love to you because you're mine. I can't help it. I can't help it. Ooh.
most treasured musical possession is?
I feel like I lost one of my most treasured items. I had this pink capo that a friend gave to me when I first started writing songs on ukulele, when I first started playing music. Like I said, I'm a bass player first, but the first time I started like strumming rhythm on an instrument was because I had a friend bring me a ukulele and gave me a capo and was teaching me how to play ukulele at work one day. And I totally ended up running with that for years. Like I played ukulele for like the first 7 years in my band. It was pretty hilarious. I ended up with like an electric ukulele and all this stuff. But anyways, I had that capo for a long time, like right up until I moved to Nelson. So I think I had it for like 10, 12 years. And then I lost it and I was so bummed out. You know, when you just have one of those items that you're like, I'm surprised I haven't lost this yet, especially capos and snarks, which like disappear all the time. That was one of them. But if we want to talk about musical items that are like not necessarily mine, but still are pretty exciting to have, I got my ukulele signed by Mac DeMarco when he played in Dawson City back in, I don't know, 2014, I think. And I was crying and losing my mind. And I saw him in a very small, intimate venue in Dawson City. And it was incredible. And I still have that ukulele with Mac DeMarco's signature on my wall. And it's just so awesome. And yeah, anyways, that's probably my two possessions or whatever.
Hello, everybody. It's Damien Elbus here. I'm playing Revy Live on July 4th. Come out if you like sweet showmanship, psychedelic rock, and good times. All right. Hope to see you there. Bye. man, my weirdest show. That's a really, really good question. It would have had to have been a firefighter's work party, I think, in Grand Forks on a I think it was on a Tuesday night. And it was a work party, and my band only usually does pretty much original music. And we were kind of hired for this work party, and we were playing psychedelic rock and a group of police officers and firefighters. And I don't know if it was what they were intending, but we had a very small crowd by the end of it. But a lot of people fizzled out, but the 10 or 15 that stayed really dug it. But I don't know if the other people that were there really dug it. But that would probably have been my weirdest hired gig ever. We just showed up, and there was like police officers and firefighters, and yeah, we were just hired for this kind of private party on a Tuesday, and it was pretty weird, but it was also really fun too.
Why don't you tell us a bit about your style of music and maybe some of your influences and bands that, you know, you would say you're in the same genre as?
Yeah, absolutely. So my style of music, I would say psychedelic rock's a subgenre. I would call it more rock, folk, alternative, with a bit of psychedelic rock sprinkled in. And some of my influences would definitely have to be Fleetwood Mac, Pink Floyd, Bob Dylan. I've always been a fan of Tom Petty as well. I think that's a good depiction of it. Somebody who I feel like accurately really defines, you know, really lyrical, powerful songwriting, and then blending in just such emotional musical factors as well, I think, are what my main influences are. Absolutely, yeah. So the bit about the band. Well, the band is my solo project, so it's all under my name, Damien Albliss. But it's a band made up of really, really sweet musicians. We all kind of met in Nelson. I met my bass player, who's now my girlfriend, and my drummer, and my saxophone player. I met them all in music school in Nelson when I went there about 3 years ago. And we kind of all just vibed, to be honest. I met my saxophone player. We lived with him for a bit. I was so grateful to find musicians that really wanted to play my music, because I never really started I always did like a solo folk thing, folk acoustic, but I never really did a full band set of my music until about 3 or 4 years ago, when I met these wonderful musicians in Selkirk College in Nelson there. So most of them are based out of Nelson. One of them lives in Castlegar, and I'm currently living out in Christina Lake right now. And that's kind of where we get together to practice. It's funny, we are currently recorded, or have been in the midst of recording, my first album. So that's pretty sweet. The first single is actually going to be out June 25th, which is awesome. And that's about it for that.
It's the type of naked that you don't miss. It's the sun shining through your face, nearing the end of the day. The sand's putting out the time, the hours melt on by. You blindfolded my eyes, you showed me the big surprise. Whoa. Talking in the way of words, it's the type of silence that's always heard. It's the way you say it out loud, all the thoughts staying in your mouth. The sand's dripping
What's the first thing that you want people to notice or kind of expect when they see you walk out on stage?
Showmanship, I would say. Good showmanship. Yeah, good showmanship, I would say. Yeah, I got a lot of shows coming up for myself and then Paris Pick, who's my bass player, and I play guitar in her band. We're doing kind of a duo tour where we share band members. So both our bands are going on tour, actually starting next week. Hitting Kamloops is the first show, and then heading up north and we play Smithers, Linnell, and Terrace. We're playing about Halifast. And all while that's going on, my first single, Cardboard Rocker, will be out. And the rest of the album is going to follow suit, hopefully in November. And there's going to be a music video, a couple of music videos out along the way, and a couple more singles.
Do you have a most treasured musical possession?
Do I have a, it's got it. This sounds so, so vanilla, but it's got to be my Stratocaster. I bought it when I was 12 years old. I asked my dad when I was 12. I said, "Dad, can you buy me a Stratocaster?" Because David Gilmour played one, and I love David Gilmour. And he said, "No, you got to get a job and you got to buy it." So I got a job at 12 years old at the pizza place washing dishes, and I bought that guitar. And I've changed a bunch of things in it, changed the frets, changed the pots, changed the pickups, and I love it so much. It's still probably my most prized musical possession.
Now we have a couple tunes by Myra and Dennis, who are playing Revy Live on July 5th.
act, one love in multiplied. Subtract one love and multiply heartache.
Hey, we are Four Good Emperors, and we are playing Revy live July 6th. That's a Sunday. Come on down if you enjoy funk, rock, R&B, soul music. We got that for you, and we're stoked to play.
It's just like you to play these games on love. Seems so invested, then you take all the winnings and run. I've been spinning around your carousel. Joke's always been on me, for you I've been through hell. You've been so cold for so long. You tease me till the battle. Calling your name.
So tell me a bit about the band and how long you guys been playing for. Before we were recording, Kevin, you mentioned that you guys are Greater Vancouver based, but yeah, give us a quick rundown of the history of the band.
Who's taking this?
I can take it. So I met Will initially through a mutual friend. Actually, Will and Gabe, and we were doing, it was an album release, right? Yeah, so it was for a local band, Shadowfax, which, check them out, they're awesome. Yeah, so we just kind of met through there, and Will was having a jam at his space, and then that's where I met Kevin, and we all really clicked. And this would have been in kind of like March of 2023, so we're still fairly new, but yeah, we've done a lot so far.
Yeah, it's like, can't believe it's 2 years. Yeah, so we do have a single coming up, and we are, yeah, we're writing, continuously writing music. It's always, it's always a balance when we're trying to rehearse for gigs, and then we're like, we need time to write. But yeah, we've got some stuff cooking for sure. And so yeah, we got a new single, Echo, that's coming out. Is it July 5th? Am I getting that right? Or is it July 4th? Yeah, so it's July 5th, right before we play it at Revy. So that'll be kind of our debut with bringing that single out. So yeah, stay tuned for that.
What goes into writing a song for each of you?
Should we go one by one, or like,
go ahead, Gabe.
You got it, Gabe.
I could just speak for myself and just say, you know, one of these other three characters here, you know, comes up with, you know, they got something cooking in the, in their mind, and it's sort of, you know, kind of comes out at practice, or just, you know, just rehearsal or whatnot. And then, you know, I think we can all agree that one of us will jump on it, then another person jumps on that, and then next thing you know, we're jumping all over each other. and, you know, a few minutes go by and we go, hey, that could be something.
Yeah.
You know? Or, you know, or who knows? Let's remember that one, you know, sometimes we continue, sometimes we just, you know, pause there and move on, and then come back to it at another time. So, that's what it feels like for me personally, anyway.
It's been a really like collaborative process. I can't. Like, I'm just really happy to be with this band. I love you guys, and I think it's just been really cool. Just being able to kind of feel that vulnerability in front of people. Like, that's one thing I think whenever you're writing music, it's kind of a part of you. So when you have that comfort with, you know, your team, your bandmates, it's just really enlightening. It's really healing. There's actually like a memory coming up for me when I brought one of our first releases, Keep or Forget. And we just kind of started going, okay, well, what do we want to add to this? And then we all kind of stood around this. Was it a Shure 55? We all like stood around like old school. Yeah. And that's kind of like where a lot of my inspiration comes from, like the Daptone sound. So we kind of stood there just live off the floor and did these raw harmonies, and it was just really cool. So yeah, sometimes we'll come in with a full song, kind of, you know, the skeleton's there, but then Gabe might be like, well, why don't you try something like this? I mean, I don't play bass. I can, you know, kind of get my head around it for, you know, writing purposes, but he's going to make it so much better. So it's just kind of, yeah, really, really great that we have, I don't know, that connection. It's special. It's great.
Yeah, I think what's really awesome is they're not going to say it, but I have the pleasure of playing with three geniuses in this group, and they're all really strong songwriters. And it's really cool because sometimes, yeah, like Ali, you're saying, there is like a skeleton or even like a pretty fleshed out song idea. But other times it is quite iterative. So we've done a bit of top down, we've done a bit of bottom up. And what's really cool is we just put the puzzle pieces together pretty quickly when we do right, and that's what's really special about this group.
Sleep over you.
worst of it is over. And time heals the hands that made a fist against one another. Oh, I'm through spending my nights losing sleep over you. Your love came by, it's plain to see. We wore our hearts loose on our sleeves. I'll paint all mine, the words I could do. We'll keep or we'll forget old memories. Love came by, it's plain to see. We wore our hearts loose on our sleeves. I'll paint all mine, the words I could do. We'll drift apart now, peacefully.
So the last question I got for you guys, what's your most treasured musical possession?
Yeah, I mean, what comes to mind if it's like an object would be, you know, my grandfather's trumpet, Palm Papa. He passed when I was pretty young, but I'm not a trumpet player. I tried learning briefly, gave up pretty fast. Will's a good trumpet player, by the way, even though he won't admit it. He's a good self-learner. But anyway, you know, that was a starting point because right from a young age, I was very curious about music, and I'd like to think that he helped me kind of get that party started. But I think what also comes to mind is my old memories of my father teaching me the drums and my mom teaching me the piano. And yeah, I have some old pictures of that. So that's what comes to mind for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I can speak to the exact same thing. I have some instruments I treasure quite a bit. But I would say that for myself, it's the memories of growing up watching cartoons while my dad's band plays in the next room, you know, at the age of like six. trying to hear Bugs Bunny while, you know, rock and roll's being played in the next room at, you know, volume 11. I don't know. That's for me too. It's the same thing, you know. Guitars, there it is.
That's Gabe.
Gabe on the kit.
While the band was having a break. Yeah, that's it. Exactly. You know, instruments, guitars were furniture in my house when I was growing up. I didn't know what they were. They were just all over the place. So that to me is like, you know, that means more to me than anything else. I think, you know, this is those memories of those times, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, for me, I got into recording like pretty soon after I started playing. So for me, it's the, you know, gigabytes and gigabytes of recordings from the past 20 years of the millions of bands and, you know, drunken nights playing guitar with friends, and pretty cool to look back on that stuff sometimes.
I almost remember some of those nights.
Yeah.
Space Cat. That's what I'm thinking of.
it's definitely memories for me too. Like I definitely have, like I have my grandfather's harmonica, my dad's guitar and all that, but it's funny because it's like, as much as those are cherished, I can put on a song, like anything from like Sly and the Family Stone, Al Green, and like my grandfather's sitting right there. He's no longer with us, but when I put on like that song, or like someone who's still with me, and like they're like, a lot of my family, most of them are 3,000 miles away, but it's like I'll put on a song that we sang together and they're right here. I'm pointing to my heart. So there you go.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Bob Rogers. Going to be playing Revy Live on July 7th. Looking forward to seeing lots of old friends out. We'll be playing lots of our jazz funk favorites. Hope to see you there.
My first question, what's the weirdest show you've ever played?
The weirdest show, I think, well, it wasn't really a show, but it was for a convention of Chevron gas station franchisees in Vancouver, probably 30 years ago. And one of the breaks of the band leader came up to us and said, they've asked for three of us to put on these styrofoam gas pump outfits and just march across the stage when they play this music. So I thought, well, when am I going to get a chance to do this again? So we put on the gas pumps and marched across the stage. So that was the strangest request, certainly, that I've ever had at a gig.
Yeah, fair enough. That's a unique one. Why don't you take the time to, for those of us who are unfamiliar with your music, give us a rundown of what we can expect when you perform at Revy Live.
Okay. What kind of music can you expect? We're primarily instrumental, so I play trombone. We've got trombone, saxophone, keyboards, guitar, bass, and drums. We play a lot of original tunes by me and a few covers by people like Trombone Shorty, Maceo Parker, and it's jazz funk. Upbeat music, so we have fun playing it, and we hope the audience has a lot of fun listening and moving too, hopefully.
Growing up, learning the trombone, who are some of your biggest influences?
Biggest influences on trombone, well, Carl Fontana, who was an American jazz trombone player, was a big influence. Frank Rosalino, another jazz trombone player, was a classical soloist named Christian Lindbergh, who was a huge influence. Ian McDougall, who was a
a great Canadian trombonist, was a teacher of mine and probably one of the biggest influences I had. But there were lots and lots.
I'm curious how the songwriting process works. Are you composing these pieces on the trombone and then bringing them to the band just as trombone parts, or do you have ideas for saxophone and trumpet and piano in mind when you write your trombone piece?
I usually write the chord progression first, so using a piano, and I plug it into a program called Band in a Box, which will play it back, play the rhythm section parts back, play the drums, bass, guitar, sort of basic kind of feel. And then I write the melody over top of that. So then what I usually give the band is a lead sheet that has the melody and the chords on it. And we jam on it some. They always have suggestions too. So they kind of morph over time too. So they start out as what I give them, but often they become a kind of a group effort too.
Do you have a favorite place to grab a cup of coffee around town?
Oh, well, there's so many. Main Street Cafe is great. Le Marché, not Le Marché, that's the grocery store. At the place there.
La Baguette.
La Baguette, yeah. I love La Baguette. So many good places to eat too. The Taco Club and Village Idiot. And the Regent, of course.
Yeah. My last question for you, what's your most treasured musical possession?
Treasured musical possession? Well, probably the trombone that I'll be playing there that night is a trombone that my parents bought me when I was in grade 9. So that would have been 1976. So I've had it for quite a while, and it's still going. It's a great instrument, and I'm going to keep playing it as long as it holds up.
Well, that's all the time we got for this week. Just to wrap things up, on July 3rd, we have Paris Pick. July 4th, we've got Damien Alblas. On July 5th, we've got Myron Dennis. On July 6th, we've got Four Good Emperors coming from Vancouver. On July 7th, we have Bob Rogers Band playing some funk. On July 8th, we have The Best Night Ever. And on July 9th, we have Revelstoke Live's very own Caleb Deneau playing us some tunes. So, hope to see everyone out there.